إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with the series of lectures based on Surah Al-Hujurat. And today we are on the 11th and 12th ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, inshallah. Let's see how much of this we can complete today. The idea is not to cram as much as possible into each Jummah, but to give us enough material to act on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us. As I have said before, if I was asked to give this surah a name, I would call it Suratul Ummah. Because the Suratul Hujurat has all the instructions that are necessary for building a community and keeping it together, while honoring all kinds of diversity and difference. In our world today, this is a huge challenge. And one of the factors which is critical to our success as leaders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat, which I will recite before you, something which is a terminal illness, so to speak, with respect to building the ummah. This terminal illness is something which destroys all the good work of bringing hearts together, as surely as the hidden work of termites eats into the massive beams of a roof until they collapse on top of the occupants of the building, unseen and unknown. But this work happens hidden, and it eats away at the foundations of the ummah until the whole structure collapses. And that is why this is such a big danger, and that is why this terminal illness, we have been warned against it so strongly and so emphatically, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this terminal illness and indulging in it haram to such an extent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعدا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم
Both these ayats begin with the khitab يا أيها الذين آمنوا What do we know about this khitab? When an ayah begins with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what do we know about this ayah? It is an instruction, it's an order, it's a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly to be obeyed without question, without argument. So it's very important whenever these ayat, and there are many such ayat in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with this address, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And whenever we come, of course, we must pay attention to everything of the Quran, but whenever especially we come to these ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, we must pay special attention to that because this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem, so-called problem with the ahkam, with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if we do not obey it, then we are culpable and we are punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no escape from that. And that's the reason why it's important to know what the law is, because ignorance about the law is not a defense in law. Not knowing the law is not defense in law. It is the job of the individual to find out which law applies to him or her and to follow that law. To say that I did not know is not a defense in law, either in this dunya or in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, O you who believe, let not a group of you mock another group. It may be that that other group, the latter, is better than the former. That that group who you are mocking is a better group than yourselves. Nor let any women mock at other women. It may be that the latter, the women who were being mocked, are better than the former, better than the women who were mocking those people. How bad? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not defame one another. And do not insult one another by bad nicknames. May Allah forgive us. Our language is full of such things. We make nicknames based on people's physical disabilities. Huh? If somebody is cannot see with one eye, what do you call him? Hyderabad zone kya bolte? Kanda. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, well, let me make you like that? Do you think it is not possible, not doable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there are so many of these. So many of these nicknames which are based on physical disabilities. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Can somebody, if a person became blind, did he choose to become blind? Then how do you mock that person? What is funny about that? What is funny about that? We have nicknames based on skin color. We are among the most racist and color conscious people in the world. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And our language is full of these very peculiar things. I mean, we say, if somebody is dark, in our language, in Urdu, what do you say? Rang kam hai bolte. Halanki rang zyada hai. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. I'm reminded of a joke one of my friends told me. He said he went to study in the US. And in the university, he was with a group of people. All of them, all that group were white, except this guy who was Indian and another guy who was African-American. So this African-American guy, they were all very close friends. So this African-American guy used to be called Midnight by his white friends. Now don't try doing that. It's not a, you know, not safe to say such things. But I'm just saying, they were very close friends. So, you know, he didn't mind them saying that. They said it. It's not a good thing to say. But they said, they used to call him Midnight. So this Indian guy says, I also went into this group and I thought maybe that's what I should call him. So I used to call him Midnight. He said, until one day he turned around and he said, what are you calling me Midnight for, man? You are 11:30 yourself. So, you know, I mean, my point is, I'm just saying that very important for us. Let us not fall into this. There is nothing whatsoever funny about making a nickname about somebody's nationality, about their color, about a physical disability they have, or about anything. You know, and this is prohibited in the Quran. I mean, a bigger dalil than that I don't have, unfortunately. Sorry about that, right? I mean, the biggest dalil that I can give you is the word of Allah. Now, if that is not enough, then I can't help it. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not defame each other and do not call each other by bad nicknames. And Allah says, how bad is it to insult your brother after you have faith? What a nasty thing for a Muslim to do. You know, the Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah which sets a standard. It's the surah of the standard bearers of Islam. It sets a standard. It is driving you to become abnormal. There is a tendency for people to seek normalcy. This is what happens to water. You know, water goes to find the lowest level, right? But you are not water. So people like to be like everybody else. You know, there's this whole trend to be like the other sheep. And it's the job of the leader to stand out, to be differentiated. I've said this many times before, that the only time you actually salute a flag is when the flag is flying on the flagpole. But the same flag, if it has been taken down before Independence Day or Republic Day or whatever day, and it's washed to clean it, and it's hanging on a clothesline along with your underwear, you don't salute the flag there. Because when it's like any other cloth, you don't salute it. It's not worthy of respect. It's worthy of respect only when it's flying high on the standards. Yes? And that is the job of the Muslim. The Muslim is not someone who should become normal. Who are the normal people in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Utbah and Shaybah and those people. They were normal people. You want to be counted among the normal people? Or you want to be counted among the people who are highly abnormal, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, and his father Al-Yasir radiallahu anhu, and Sumayya radiallahu anha, and Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, and Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, Khadija is coming to you just now with something to eat and something to drink. She's bringing something for you to drink, and she's bringing something for you to eat. Please tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to convey his salam to her." And then he said, "And also convey my salam to her." And Khadija radiallahu anha came in, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Jibreel is here and he has come with a message from Allah." This is wahi. This is wahi. He says he has come from message from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent salam on you. And Jibreel says that he also is sending salam on you. Do you think this was normal? It happened to everybody? All the women in Makkah were getting salam from Allah? Decide, you want to be a sheep? You want to be normal? Join the gang. Join the gang. There are plenty of them. But you want to stand out? Then insha'Allah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Talha and Zubair and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Mus'ab ibn Umair and Abu Darda and Abu Dahda radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Not my fatwa. This is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, ayah number 100. What did he say?
السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم.
Allah said this, I didn't say it, not my fatwa, the fatwa of Rabbul Alameen. He said, the سابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعهم بإحسان. The best of the best. سابقون الأولون. The best of the best. The people who came first to Islam. من المهاجرين والأنصار. The names I recited before you are من المهاجرين والأنصار. And they are the سابقون الأولون. And Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? I have said this many times before. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have closed the door at that point and simply said, radiallahu anhu and radwan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rahmanur rahimu fi dunya wal akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door open for all of you and for all the Muslims who come until the day of judgment, provided they follow those sabiqoon al-awwaloon. Wattaba'hum bi ihsan. Follow them in excellence. We have to choose, my brothers and sisters, we have to choose. Stop living like sheep. Stop living like robots. Stop living like morons. Stop living like people who have no faculties, who only breathe. Live thoughtfully. Live consciously. Think. Reflect. Allah did not give us a brain as manure to grow your hair. Allah gave us brains to use. The head is not a pot full of manure from which the hair grows like plants, like grass. We don't even do too well with that. Huh? You see the number of bald heads. The brain is meant to be used. The heart is meant to be alive, not dead. Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, in his many hikayat, teachings, he said, do not mention death when you are eating your food. So they asked him, why? He said, because if you mention death while you are eating your food and your heart is alive, you will stop eating. He says, how can you continue to eat if you have mentioned death and your heart is alive? Your appetite will be killed. Instantly, you will be finished. You will not be able to eat another morsel after that. And he says, if you continue to eat, it means your heart is dead. Because after the mention of death, you still have an appetite. You can still eat. He says, your heart is dead. What do you say about us today? That we are able to sit and watch on the television videos of massacres, videos of murders and rapes, videos of annihilation of entire cities and entire populations. And while we are watching that, we are eating popcorn and we are drinking Coca-Cola or whatever else. What do you say about those hearts? Is that a heart? Is there a heart? This thing just beating and pumping blood in the veins is not heart. The qalb in Islam is not just something which is pumping blood. The qalb is something in which there is fikr, which thinks, which reflects, which reacts. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are not blind with their eyes. They are blind with their qulub, which are in their chests. لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Allah said, they're not blind with their eyes, are fine. But they don't see, meaning what? Meaning they don't understand. They are seeing, the eye is just a reflector. There's a difference between seeing and seeing. A person walks in and the person is big. And if I see the person, I might say, well, you know, he looks like he's been doing some bodybuilding. He's got a big body. And a doctor might see him and he says, this guy, something is wrong with his kidneys. That size is an indication of water retention. Something is wrong with his kidneys. Both of us are seeing the same thing. In terms of seeing, we have seen the same thing. There's no difference. That's why I say we see with our knowledge. We don't just see with our eyes. We see with our knowledge. To see is to understand. If you are seeing something and you do not understand it, you are blind. You haven't seen. You have not seen. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran so many times has talked about the people of Basira. He's talked about the people who can see. Obviously, it does not mean people who have eyes. It means people who notice and people who see the signs in what they are seeing. And that's the reason why it is so important to stand out. Stop trying to be normal. As I told you, decide who do you want to be resurrected with. With the normal people at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or with the abnormal people at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make your choice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that time and has given us the ability to make that choice while we are still alive. Stand out. Stand out for the truth. Stand out for justice. Stand out even though you know that it will make you unpopular. And the more unpopular you are, the closer you are to the sunnah of the Nabiyyin. If you are popular, then become very frightened. If you are popular, then fear Allah. Because popularity is a sign that probably your ikhlas is in danger. Popularity is a sign that shaitan is trying to tempt you with riya. Popularity is a very major trap, which can make you fall into that trap and then all the amal becomes zero. Fear popularity. Don't seek popularity. If it happens, even despite your fearing it and running away from it, then inshallah, it is minallahi ta'ala. We ask Allah to save you from the evil of that. But never seek popularity. Run away from popularity. Seek to stand out. I'm not saying make yourself unpopular by your bad manners. No, I don't mean that. Now, there are some people today when they think that to be religious means to go around shooting fatawa at everybody, and the only word in their language they know is haram, and they think this haram, that haram, and your face is haram and your tail is haram. That's not deen. That's not deen. That is something which is the lack of tarbiyah. The minute you start pointing fingers at people, it shows two things. One is that you have no tarbiyah, and two, that you are falling into an even bigger trap, which is the trap of arrogance. The trap of arrogance. Because when we are arrogant, we are looking down on somebody. And you say, so and so is misguided. Which means what? That means you are not misguided. No? Otherwise, you would say, both of us are misguided. If you were not pointing a finger, then you would say, we are both misguided. But the minute you point a finger and say, so and so is misguided, that's what Allah is saying in this ayah. Do not mock another group. What do we do today? What do we do today? Depending on which group you belong to. Somebody mentions Tablighi Jamaat, you say, oh, they are all misguided. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. You know, millions of people are misguided. You gave your fatwa. Somebody mentions the Salafis, you say, all the Salafis are misguided. So another few million people, all misguided. And you say, people who are members of Jamaat Islam, oh, they are the most misguided. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So who is guided then? You want to go to Jannah alone by yourself? This mocking at people, this finding fault with people, this pointing fingers at people, entire groups. No one is misguided except the one who is saying that. The one who is truly and surely misguided is the one who claims that entire groups of people are misguided. That much I will tell you. And this is what Allah is saying. Allah says, do not mock at people. Do not give them bad nicknames. Do not say they are misguided and so on and so forth. No. You have no right. Allah did not send you into this world to give a stamp of approval to somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you or me what he must do with so and so before on the day of judgment. Allah will not ask me and he will not ask you, what shall I do with so and so? Should I put him in Jannah or Jahannam? What's your opinion? Please tell me. Is Allah going to say this? Then why are you bothered? Why are you bothered about opinions about others? Look at yourself. Let me look in the mirror of my heart. Let me look in the mirror of my heart. I was listening to a beautiful lecture about Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh and his book Al-Ihya' ul-Ulum. And truly, 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 I tell you, what struck me was the level of scholarship of somebody like Al-Ghazali. Rahmatullahi. And I was thinking to myself that all of you are sitting here, you think I'm a scholar. And I have denied this. If you think I'm a scholar, the blame is entirely on you. All that it proves is that you do not know what is a scholar. But I was thinking to myself that people like me today are called a scholar. If I'm a scholar, then what's Ghazali? Rahmatullahi. And if Imam Ghazali is a scholar, what am I? I'm not trying to be modest, this is fact. I am not even worth the dust on the hoof of the donkey of Imam Ghazali. Even the donkey of Imam Ghazali is better than me. And that Imam Ghazali, one of the stories that is mentioned about him was, he was traveling from somewhere and he had gone to study and he had studied for about 3 or 4 years and he had a whole lot of books in the panniers, saddlebags of his donkey. And his caravan got looted. And when the brigands, when the highway robbers, when they were taking things, Imam Ghazali said, take whatever you want but leave these books. Leave these books. So the chief of the brigands said, why should I leave the books? Imam Ghazali said, this is my knowledge. He said, this is my knowledge. If you take it away from me, then what do I have? So the highway robber, he laughed at Imam Ghazali. He said, you are telling me that your knowledge is something that somebody like me can steal? He said, what's the value of that knowledge? He said, you are telling me that your knowledge is something that a thief like me can steal? He said, then what is the value of that knowledge? You know the point that is being made in the story? Knowledge which is not practiced, knowledge which is not in our lives is worthless. Worthless. And that is why, what did Imam Ghazali do? Imam Al-Ghazali in his 20s was made the Vice Chancellor of the Jamia Al-Nizamiya, which was the Jamia established by Nizam Al-Mulk, who was the Prime Minister. He was the youngest Vice Chancellor of that Jamia. In today's terminology, that would be like somebody who is the President of Harvard. Absolutely the top, absolutely the creme de la creme of academia. And he was in his 20s. And Imam Ghazali one day gave up that position. He resigned that position. And where do you think he went? Where do you think he went? Did he go to some university better than that? Because there wasn't in those days. You know where he went? He went and became a janitor. He became a sweeper in the Jamia Masjid of Damascus. For 2 years, Imam Ghazali did not even tell anybody his name. He used to sweep the masjid and clean the masjid for 2 years. He gave up that job, and that job came with all kinds of perks. He was the level of a minister. He was very wealthy, and he had all kinds of protocol and security and the works. He gave all of that up. He resigned it, and he went and he became a sweeper in the masjid, in the Jamia Masjid, in Damascus, in the main masjid in Damascus, for 2 years. Why? Because he said, I felt my knowledge is not doing me any good. He said, I feel that my knowledge is only getting me popularity, it is only getting me name and fame, all of which is zero, all of which has no meaning. My knowledge is not doing me any good, and therefore I need to work on my nafs. And he spent 2 years, voluntarily, no one made him do that, no one, nothing, voluntarily, 2 years in the Jamia Masjid in Damascus, sweeping the masjid, cleaning the masjid. I remind myself and you, what is our value for knowledge? Why do we seek knowledge? What do we do about people of knowledge? What do we do about practicing that knowledge in our own lives? And that is why I keep on saying, this surah is something which we should really memorize. And we should reflect and think, and every morning, wake up in the morning, read one ayat of the surah and think about this ayat and say, how am I implementing it in my life? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not mock at each other, do not give each other bad names. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever does not repent, such a person is among the zalimun, such a person is among the oppressors. And then the ayah number 12, Allah said, O you who believe, avoid suspicion. Do not be suspicious. Today's Fajr reminder is on that. Those of you who are getting the Fajr reminder, you would have heard it. Those of you not getting it, you want to get it, speak to Azhar and Ahmad and Ahmad Saeed. I don't know where Ahmad Saeed is, but if he is here, then you speak to Ahmad Saeed. There is Saeed. Saeed is there. So speak to them, give them your emails, and inshallah they will be sent to you. Allah said, O you who believe, once again, the address of hukum. Avoid suspicion. Do not suspect one another. Do not be suspicious. Indeed, some suspicion is sin. And don't spy on one another. And don't backbite one another. Would you like to eat, would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will find that disgusting. You would hate it, therefore hate backbiting. And fear Allah. Fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful. We will look at all of this in detail, inshallah. The asbab al-nuzul of these ayats are related to two incidents. One concerning Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu, who was hard of hearing. And so he used to come in the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to come and sit right next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was also a very beautiful reciter of the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him very much. But Thabit bin Qais used to come and sit next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day, he got late. So he came in and he started stepping over people, to get close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would said to people, move. So somebody in the majlis, this is against the adab of the majlis. So somebody in the majlis told him, just sit down there is place there, just sit. So Thabit bin Qais got very angry, and he started cursing that man, and he called him by the name of his mother and all kinds of things. And all this is happening in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is one of the asbab of the nuzul of this ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah about cursing one another and about calling names and reviling one another. The other circumstances of revelation also refer to an incident where our mothers Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhum anhuma, they made fun of Umm Salama radiallahu anha because she was short. And on another occasion, they made fun of Safiya bint Huyay, who was ethnically Jewish, radiallahu anha. And she complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, you should have told them that my father is Harun, and my uncle is Musa, and my husband is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people also complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that others were calling them by derogatory nicknames and so on, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayats. My brothers and sisters, what is the result of suspicion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us and he called it a sin? What is the result of being so eager to believe the worst about each other? And being so reluctant to believe good about one another, even when we are presented with evidence after evidence to prove that our earlier impression was wrong. Think about this. What do we believe more easily? Bad news or good news? If somebody gives us something, tells us something negative about someone, most people are very easy and very readily they will believe that. And then you can give them a million pieces of evidence about to the contrary, but they will not believe it. They like to stick and stay with that original negative impression. What's the result of that? The result of that is most likely then you become a donor of good deeds to that person. Because you suspect that person, and then you start doing ghibat against that person and so on and so on. So this person now receives your good deeds. Now do understand that gullibility is not the opposite of suspicion. We're not saying believe everything you hear. That's our other problem. We've got two problems. I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this ummah of the middle path. But we are always on extremes. We are either extremely gullible. Somebody comes and says, here is so and so, and he converted 100,000 people to Islam. So please support him. So immediately we start giving money. Nobody asks him, can you give me the names of 1% of that population, which is 1,000 people. Or even less, give me the names and addresses of 0.01%, which is 100 people. You claim to have converted 100,000. Give me the names of 100 people. We don't ask this question. Why not? Who told you to believe everything you hear? Everything we hear, we believe. Or on the other hand, we suspect everybody. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What we need to do is what Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said about himself. He said, I do not deceive anybody and I do not allow anyone to deceive me. So I don't believe unquestioningly, I will check. And at the same time, I will not hold on to a suspicious mindset and continue to suspect people. No. Neither of these. We need to believe, we need to check, and once we have checked, alhamdulillah, stop suspecting. Suspicion is probably the single biggest cause for the destruction of marriages, for the destruction of friendships, for the destruction of business relationships. Single biggest cause. And there's no evidence. Once we trust somebody, I'm not saying once you trust somebody, you trust them blindly for life. No. Trust them until you find incontrovertible evidence to the contrary. To deny or to challenge your trust. Then this is a different matter. I now have physical evidence to show that this is what happened. But until that happens, You suspect every action the person takes. You suspect every speech the person makes. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And that's what destroys relationships. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some suspicion is sin. Do not suspect. Do not spy on one another. Don't become an amateur, investigator. Digging into people's lives and interfering in people's lives and asking all sorts of personal, questions. No, that's not the behavior of a Muslim. So today, alhamdulillah, we're looking at these matters, which is, number one, what's the first one? Not mocking anybody. Don't call, not mocking anyone. Do not call names, no nicknames. No cursing, no suspicion, and no backbiting. And we look at all the details of this, inshallah, in the khutbahs to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to accept your ibadah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with our coming here. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.